Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Psychic Teachers. I'm your host, Deb Bowen.
And I'm Samantha Fay.
And we are just delighted and honored that you have joined us on this Easter Sunday evening as we talk about rebirth, renewal, resurrection, and reincarnation. Not necessarily in that order. So in any case, we are delighted that you are with us. We hope that everyone has had an absolutely lovely day, and we look forward to being with you tonight. For those of you who are our regular listeners, you know that we normally begin each show with a crystal of the week, a meditation of the week, and a tarot card of the week. Samantha, would you like me to start with the meditation tonight?
Sure, that would be lovely.
Okay, great. I'm actually going to do that, folks. So if you are in a comfortable place and can take some long, slow, deep breaths, and if it's safe for you to do so, close your eyes and just breathe in and breathe out. Long, slow, deep breaths. And let the day just kind of disappear away from you as you listen to my voice. And just be in this moment. And what I'd like to invite you to do is to go for a walk with me. And I'd like to begin just walking in this lovely, soft, springtime meadow with beautiful little wildflowers and meadowlarks flitting in and out around you and a crystal clear blue, blue, blue sky. And grasses that are growing around you, turning from the brown and rest of winter into this luscious, verdant green. Just with every step you take, it's almost as if you're walking in a fairyland of spring. And as you walk along this path in this beautiful meadow, you realize that with every step you take, you are watching literally around you, rebirth, that wonderful cycle of nature that happens this time of year here in the northern hemisphere as earth and life renews and rebirths itself. And as you walk along, the path begins to climb a little bit, and you pass this beautiful tree that's just beginning to bud out, these lovely flowers on this tree, and you hear water. And as you climb a little higher, you find yourself just at the edge of this beautiful little stream with this lovely, soft, gentle waterfall cascading down into the stream. And you know that this is a place of washing away the past. This is a place of allowing the water of life to flow over you and around you and through you. And so you step into the stream just beneath the waterfall and let that wonderful water wash away yesterday and the day before that. And you are cleansed and whole and healthy and reborn in this waterfall of life. And you step out, and the wonderful sun warms you and dries you. And you know that you have all you need to think about the rebirth and renewal of your life every moment with every breath you take. And come back down the path, past the beautiful tree, through the meadows with all its lovely wildflowers and the beautiful birds. And take another long, slow, deep breath and come back into the room.
Thank you, Deb. That was wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, the crystal of the week that I chose is Bloodstone. I chose this stone because it's often called the Christ Stone or the Martyr Stone. It's a lovely dark green quartz dotted with flecks of red jasper. And legend says that the green quartz stones were actually all around the cross that Christ was crucified on, and that these green stones caught the drops of Jesus' blood, which is why the stone is called Bloodstone. and is known as a noted healer of many ailments. Obviously, that's just a legend, but it's a neat story to go along with the stone, because if you look at it, it does look as though there are drops of blood flecked throughout it. Physically, bloodstone is said to be a blood cleanser and an immune strengthener. Wearing bloodstone revitalizes an exhausted person and helps stimulate good health. It will increase your intuition, all while protecting you from any dark or negative influences. It's a very grounding stone, and it will work very hard to keep negative people and experiences away from your energy. It imparts on the wearer courage and discernment, enabling you to make good, sound decisions, as it teaches you how to really listen to your intuition and helps for you to hear that inner voice. It helps you to feel more spiritual in your everyday life, as it reduces impatience, irritability, and anger. Judy Hall recommends placing a bloodstone in a bowl of water by your bed to aid a restless sleeper. She also suggests taping a small piece of bloodstone over your thymus to strengthen the immune system. It's a really neat stone to check out. I recommend wearing it to really feel the effects of that stone. Whenever I've used bloodstone, it seems to have a slower effect, so I usually recommend wearing it or sleeping with it by your bed or under your pillow. So
wonderful. Thank you. Great.
You're welcome.
Okay. And if you are a regular listener, you know that we are working our way through the traditional Waite Rider Tarot. And tonight, we finish the Minor Arcana Suit of Swords with the King of Swords. Yay. And next week, we move on to Pentacles. But tonight, we talk about the King of Swords. Swords are about spirit. They're related to air. And so their symbol is not only the sword, but the butterfly. And so this card depicts a king holding a sword with a banner of butterflies behind him. And he is sitting in a grove of cypress trees, which are sacred to Venus, the goddess of love. And he there's storm clouds brewing in the background of this card behind him, which is true for many of the cards in this suit. And so this card is about someone who is wise, who is very firm. He's very bright, very thoughtful. He's about power and authority and strength. If he shows up reversed in a reading, this is somebody that you should be aware of being harsh. He sometimes has a misuse of power. What I have found for me is that this card often represents a father figure or a stepfather with whom the person for whom I'm reading is having some kind of conflict. I find him showing up that way for me a lot.
And reversed?
Reversed is that there's a way to make some restitution, a way to make some healing happen in that relationship.
Very nice.
So there we go.
All right. Thank you. We're done with swords. Yay.
Yeah,
we move on to happier things like the suit of money.
Oh, exactly. And material things and wonderful things. I love the suit of pentacles. So we'll move to that in our next show. So rebirth, reincarnation, renewal, resurrection. One of the things that I love so much and that you and I stress so much as we do this show every week is our common ground. And that's what this time of year for me, probably more than any other time of the year, is all about. It is about common ground. On Thursday night, a day early, I celebrate, and there's a long story as to why it was a day early, so everybody have to forgive me. I celebrated Passover with some friends. And, you know, certainly I didn't do an absolutely traditional Seder. It was a women's Seder. And so we honored Miriam, for example, at our table, who was Moses' sister. But at the table were pagans and Christians and Jewish folks. And we had a lovely discussion about our commonalities and our beliefs, and how some of our beliefs carried over and spilled over and became a part of each other's belief systems. For example, that notion of sharing what in my tradition we call cakes and ale, or some kind of symbolism of body and blood, was also a part of the Passover Seder with the sacrificial lamb and the folks coming out of Egypt. And, of course, you see that replicated in the Last Supper, which was, in fact, a Passover Seder that Jesus and his disciples did. And I love that common ground. And then on Friday, I honored Good Friday as the day where Jesus died and the travails that he certainly went through on that day. And then, of course, this morning with the resurrection of Jesus, I celebrated. And that's kind of an odd little tradition. Well, I don't know whether it's odd or not, but it's worked for me for 30-some years. On Good Friday, I play the soundtrack. This will tell folks how old I am now. On Friday night, I play the soundtrack to Jesus Christ Superstar. I love that music. I love so many of the lyrics of that play. But I play that on Friday night because if you all know anything about the musical, he dies in the end. The crucifixion is the end of the play. But this morning, really loudly, I'm sure my neighbors appreciated this, I play the soundtrack to another Christian musical called Godspell. And Godspell is based on the parables in the book of Matthew. And in the end of Godspell, he comes back. The resurrection occurs, and we all sing day by day, and it's just lovely, and it's fun, and it's light, and it's absolutely lovely. And I've been doing that tradition now for many, many, many years to honor that notion of death and resurrection, not just in terms of Jesus and the gift that he gave to the world, but also in terms of my own deaths and resurrections throughout my life. And here's how I mean that. Every time we suffer a loss, every time we have something in our lives that we grieve, every time there is some kind of change that is uncomfortable or makes us fearful, a part of us dies. And when we find hope, when we believe that tomorrow will come, when we believe that there is light, when we believe in love, there is resurrection. And I love that symbolism in so many pieces of the puzzle of the lives that we live every day. I'll stop for a minute and see if you want to add anything here, Samantha. Because
no,
I could keep going.
Listening, that there is so much common ground. I was able to celebrate my Easter in a really lovely way. I was able to sponsor my good friend Corey as she joined the Catholic Church. So I've, you know, been sponsoring her since, I believe, right after Christmas. So it's a long journey, and I was able to go to church with her last night and watch her take her first communion ever, and it was just really neat. And I was explaining to you before the show started how the priest had us all light a candle in the courtyard outside, and we processed in, and it made me reflect on this topic a little bit, because it's this little church right on the ocean, and last night was very chilly, believe it or not. We've had such warm weather. Last night was very cold, and we were all huddled out in this little courtyard, and the ocean was right behind us and bringing the wind off of the water. And the priest came out, and he lit the fire pit, and we all got our candles lit, and suddenly it was light and warm. And I don't know, it just was such a symbol of how if we all just stick together and if we all help each other out by lighting each other's candles, by lighting the spark within each of us, you know, it's just the neatest thing. So when we walked inside and got to the part of the homily, he said that what he loves about Easter is the mystery, and that we have to always celebrate the mystery. And he says He said that every aspect of our life is a mystery. He talked about how with Christ is crucified on the cross, and yet we celebrate today that he has risen. That's a mystery. He talked about how with childbirth there's death, there's pain and joy in childbirth. And he was saying that's a mystery. How can you have pain and joy in the same moment? And he just talked about enjoying the mystery in each of the moments of our lives. And that's reminding me a lot of what you're talking about. You know, reflecting on the death and resurrections in our own life and just surrendering to the mystery of what that means to us.
Absolutely. You know, one of my favorite legends is the legend of the Holy Grail. And, you know, there's so many convoluted pieces to that puzzle of what happened to that cup? What did that cup look like that held that wine that in Catholicism you all believe in transubstantiation that became Jesus' blood?
Mm-hmm.
And whether you believe that literally or symbolically, where did that cup go? Did anybody bother to even save it? I mean, you know, legend has it that Jesus and his disciples celebrated that Seder at somebody else's home in Jerusalem that night, so who knows? And I love the Indiana Jones movie. Oh, golly. And it's the one where they're in the search of the Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes into the room and there are all these cups. And he has to stop and think which one of these would really have realistically been Jesus's. And there were all these gorgeously jewel-encrusted cups. But there's this one plain, simple cup. And he knew that that was the right one. I don't know if you all remember this scene in this movie, but I love it. Where he says that the simplicity of what this cup was probably like was really the Holy Grail. And I love the legend of Joseph of Arimathea bringing that cup to England and hiding it in the chalice well, which was sacred to the goddess, which had been the well of Avalon. And then where did it go? And you know, all the wonderful things that are about that. But every once in a while when I think about that symbol of hope, that symbol of every time you drink out of that cup, you become a part of that resurrection that Jesus promised. There's a song by Jacques Brel, and it's called If We Only Have Love. And one of the lines is, to drink from the grail to be born once again. And I love that notion of that it is indeed communion, and not just communion with the mystery of the symbolism of one's faith, but communion with the people we love, the
mm-hmm.
communion of the world around us that brings us back to life and resurrection over and over and over again.
Why do you think it is, I have two questions for
mm-hmm.
you that I don't know if you and I know or anyone know the answers to, but I think it makes for meaningful discussion. Why do you think when Jesus first saw, for example, Mary Magdalene and the others, he said, don't touch me, I have yet to ascend? What do you think he meant by that? And my other question is, why do you think they didn't recognize him at first? I find those two things to be fascinating to just dwell upon.
Well, I do too. And, you know, lots of folks have found it interesting over the years that the first people he appeared to were the women.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was because they were more likely to accept that that was who he was. I don't know. I really don't have an answer for that. I don't know about the don't touch me. I mean, you know, maybe he wasn't fully back in his physical form yet.
Right.
That's one thought that goes through my mind about that. And then the I have not yet ascended. Well, it was 50 days later, remember, that he actually ascended. That's where Pentecost comes from,
mm-hmm.
right? So I don't know the answer to that.
Right, and then, because these are the things that I always think about, and then when Doubting Thomas saw him, he was allowed to touch his wounds.
Right.
So he was allowed to touch him just later on that day or the next day.
Right.
And then you know, and then I find it so fascinating that so many of his own disciples and apostles were following him around, talking to him, and then said, oh, it's you. And it just makes me wonder, you know, given what you and I do for a living, so many times when I'm communicating with people on the other side, they don't often show themselves to me the way they are.
Right.
I just see them as light, or I see them as they appear when they were young. Now, granted, Christ died when he was very young anyway, but I'm just wondering if there isn't something fairly paranormal in that. Do you know what I mean? If
Well, I certainly think so.
Yeah. But I mean more of the mundane paranormal, you know, like was he projecting ectoplasm? Was he projecting an image of himself and not just, was it just light?
I don't know.
To think about.
It is kind of fun to think about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, another piece of that resurrection puzzle for me is that, and I know that this has happened to you 100 times as well, where I'm doing a reading and somebody says, oh, I hope I don't get the death card. Mm. And I don't say it out loud, but I think, boy, I hope you do.
Right.
Because it gives me a chance to teach.
Right.
And to talk about how it is rare, very rare, at least for me, over the years, that the death card means physical death. It is most often a reminder that there are old wounds, old pains, old grudges, old hurts, old angers that we carry with us, old relationships that need to die away so that there is then room for us to have to begin anew.
That's right.
You know, so I just think that that notion of resurrection is on so many, many levels for us, such an important concept and something really wonderful to think about. In 1984, I had two really good friends who were at that time in their late 60s. They were Jewish. We had celebrated a Passover Seder at their house on Friday night, and on Saturday they were driving to a city a couple of hours away to see one of their children, and on the way, in their little Toyota, they were hit head-on by an 18-wheeler and died almost instantly.
Oh.
And that year, Passover, of course, was the same weekend as Easter. And so all of this happened on Saturday. And back in those days, I lived at the beach. And for some years, I would have a sunrise gathering of just friends. And we would go out onto the beach and eat apples and drink wine, and I'll tell you why we did that, and just celebrate that symbolism of that resurrection just with a small group of friends. And I was so distraught that I thought, I can't do this. I cannot get up and watch that sunrise tomorrow morning. And I guess it was about 4:30 in the morning, my phone rang. And it was the daughter of a friend of mine. She was about 10 or 11, I think. And she said, Deb, get up. We're coming to the beach. This day of all days, we have to be on that beach.
Wow.
So this is a child who says this to me. So I said, okay. So I got up and I made coffee and I gathered all the stuff we needed and met my friends out on the beach as it was getting light. And as the sun came up that morning, in an absolute beautiful blaze of light out of that ocean, two dolphins came and played in the surf right in front of us, just surfing the waves. They weren't 20 feet from shore.
Wow.
And I know beyond an absolute shadow of a doubt that my friends sent those dolphins to us as a reminder to say, we are here. There is no such thing as death.
And if you're experiencing a death in your life right now, either a physical death, an emotional death, or just a sadness, I know I have so many clients right now who are going through divorces. I feel like there's so many relationship breakups, job breakups, bankruptcies, just a lot of loss going on. I do think it's important to think about how after every death there does come a resurrection and to hold on to that to help get you through the tough times.
Well, it's my mama, this too shall pass.
That's right. And you can look to the Tarot, the Wheel of Fortune teaches us that as well.
Absolutely it does.
That there's always, the Wheel of Fortune is always turning and turning and turning. And so just to in the meantime, while you are in that dark time and you are going through that death of your of one moment or one aspect of your life, I think the best thing to do is, one, to allow yourself that sadness, and then, two, to focus on the blessings in that death. Because there are always blessings.
Right. There are always
blessings. You have to do that when you're ready. You can't force yourself.
Right. Right.
Do that.
But, you know, I think a lot of times that what you and I do with this show, maybe more than anything else, is that we offer folks hope.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly that's what tonight's discussion is about, is that there is such joy and such hope in these symbols. Do you agree?
I do.
I do, too. I do, too.
I do. And it's especially, I feel this year, it's just the most poignant. I posted on my blog, the topic was, do you feel that strange energy? Because really, I can't tell you how many of my clients right now are just going through this very difficult time, and there's just a very funky energy. And so many people responded. I've gotten slews of emails from people saying, thank you for posting that, because I've been feeling so out of sorts, and I thought I was alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it's important for people to know that there is something funky going on this year. We've got all those solar sun flares coming at us. We've got Mercury just went direct finally after being in retrograde for a month. We've got some type of quickening coming up. I don't know if it has to do with the 2012 energy or not, but the time is passing so quickly. People are more stressed out, and I do think it's going to culminate in something. I don't know what, but I do know that we are safe and that we can get through this if we stick together.
That's right. We're having astronomical high tides tonight where we live.
Oh, we are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's flooding downtown tonight.
Great.
The river's flooding.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. And you know, not like houses are going to be washed away kind of flooding, not like that, but enough that some of the low-lying streets in our historic district will be underwater tonight. You know, so yes, I mean, reading the newspaper, listening to the news is, you know, it's very doom and gloomish, and yet there are these cycles in our lives, in the world, geologically, that we know are just, they're a part of it, and we just have to be in the moment and know that we will get through it some way, somehow.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. And so that really does, we're here at the halfway point. So if we could take a break and tell folks how to get in touch with us. And then I want to talk a little bit about reincarnation. And then I know you've got some mail that you want to talk about. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, so we are the Psychic Teachers. I'm Deb Bowen.
I'm Samantha Fay.
And we are just so honored to have you join us. There are many ways that you can connect with us through our website, www.psychicteachers.com. Here through Blog Talk Radio. You can always listen to archived editions of the show. You can download us for free on iTunes. You can like us on Facebook. And from our website, you can get to our individual websites. Have I forgotten anything?
Nope, that sounds great.
Okay.
We are growing immensely. I'm so happy. We have the highest number ever downloading us in the month of March. So thank you for getting the word out about us. It's really, really wonderful to see that growth occur, and we're grateful to you all for that.
Absolutely. We could not do this without the support of all of you who listen to us and the feedback that we get from you all. So thank you so very, very much. Speaking of renewal and rebirth, have you started your garden yet, Samantha?
My vegetable garden?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, you're ahead of me.
It's I planted cabbage, onions, which smell really bad when the wind blows, I have to tell you. broccoli, strawberries, all in the same little thing. So who knows?
Uh-huh.
I don't know as much as you do, but my kids and I, we just have fun planting and seeing what'll pop up.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah. Basil and parsley.
Oh, good. Oh, absolutely. Well, I hope that everybody is thinking about your garden, if you're in a place where it's now safe to do so. Technically, where we live, the last frost date is April 15th. So I know that may or may not be a good, you know, may not be ready yet for some folks who are listening to us wherever you are. But I just, that to me is another part of that renewal. and rebirth is just watching that garden grow. And just what a miracle that is. I mean, I just think it's a miracle that I put stuff in the dirt and look what happens. Somebody bigger than me waters it and makes it grow. So I just love that. I really do. And speaking of reincarnation, you know, for me, that's a part of that renewal and resurrection concept, is that we keep coming back over and over and over again until we get it right with the contracts that we make with each lifetime, with the soul groups that we travel with, that we've committed to help each other through each lifetime. And I love, in my beliefs, and in yours, Samantha, that you don't just have one shot at this to get it right. You want to add something to that?
No, I mean, I think you're saying it exactly right, that we have these lessons that we try to aspire to. I believe that we're here for two reasons, and that's to learn love in all its aspects and to overcome fear in all its forms. And we get many tries at that, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I love that notion that then that too is a kind of resurrection. You know, I believe, and I think you do, but we can talk about this, that being that is intrinsically me, that soul that is who I am, never changes. The circumstances, the lifetimes, the situations, the lessons to be learned change, but the intrinsic core of who I am, that is that God-realized energy, stays the same. Do you believe that?
I don't know. As you're talking, I'm thinking, I hope that the core of me changes, because gosh knows I need to change, you know? So I hope that there's change. I have a vivid memory, for example, of a past life I lived where I was in England and I left my family. I was a man and I was an architect and a builder, and I came over here right after the Revolutionary War, and I left my family for 24 years. And I know in that lifetime I didn't care very much about my family. It was all about work. And I know that one of the reasons of this life that I'm living now is to focus on my family. And I know that I've changed that in my soul. Do you know what I mean by that?
I do.
So I hope that we change, because there are so many things. I mean, gosh, I'm so impatient. I get angry easily. I hate it when slow drivers pull out in front of me. And I don't know. So, I hope that you're not totally right. Unless you're saying, like, just the different aspects of our personality stay the same. But
no.
Even then, I hope you're not right. Because what about, like, a Charles Manson?
No, I'm not. Maybe I'm not articulating it well. Let me try it again. Is that if you think in terms of that, we are all a part of God, that God energy, that creative energy, that whatever energy you call that, and that when we individuate away from that energy, because we have chosen to have the lessons that we will have here on this plane, that part of us that is a piece of God, a piece of that creative energy, is intrinsically good and pure and perfect, just as it is throughout all those lifetimes.
Right.
And that the circumstances and the lessons that we learn in this human experience change and morph, but that piece of us that will eventually go back to that and reunite with that creative
right.
force, that creative light, whatever we want to call it, is always there.
Right. I think the way I look at it is, let's say that piece of us is a pebble. I think that our goal is to make it a boulder by the time we're done reincarnating.
Ah.
Does that make sense? Like to grow in that spark of God that's in all of us.
Right. Rocky Mountain Guy has written in the chat room, do I mean the same as the higher self? Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I guess we just differ on that.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah. Because I do think our higher self is the best version of ourselves, but I think even that higher self needs to grow, or else we wouldn't be here.
Well, it is about all learning. I mean, it's just one big university.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're all, you know, and so if you're here, even if you're going through a difficult time, be grateful, because it means you have more to do and more to learn. Because
right.
We're here to teach something and we're here to learn something all the time. I think it just means that. I love it when, you know, people always say to me, well, this is my last life. No, it's not. I always feel like saying, no, if you think it's your last life, it's not your last life. I mean, there's no way we're all nearly ready to start incarnating that we're all that perfect, you know? It takes a long time.
It does.
I think maybe Gandhi is done. Maybe Martin Luther King Jr. is done.
Mother Teresa.
I don't know. Have you read her diaries? She's really, I love her diaries. She got mad a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She got mad at God a lot. She got mad at herself.
I heard she was a piece of work to work for.
Yeah. So I don't know. But who knows? But I know that, I know this isn't my last time around.
No, I don't think it's mine either. I think I've probably blown some things this lifetime.
Luckily, it's not our first.
Yeah.
Since we are being so religious tonight, which is not always like us, I do want to mention a couple of things about the Bible in regards to reincarnation that I think we've already talked about in the show, but it's probably been 2 years now. There are a couple of neat references to reincarnation that were left in the Bible. One that comes to mind is when they asked Jesus, "Are you Elijah or John the Baptist come again?" Or did they ask John the Baptist that?
Well, John was at the same time as Jesus.
Right. So
you mean Elijah?
No,
Moses.
I mean, do they ask? No, they do ask Jesus that. After John the Baptist is killed, after his head is served up on the platter,
right?
They ask. Don't they ask Jesus? Are you? I have to look at my reincarnation.
I think they ask if he was Elijah or Moses.
Okay. I'll have to look at my Gospels again. I think we're well read with their Bible composed now. But there is a comment that they do ask him about that, and I thought, that's very interesting. And if you ever have interest in learning more about all of that, read Elaine Pagels, because she does extensive work on a lot of the books that were banned during the time of Constantine.
Right.
And there were many, many references to reincarnation before he took those references out, and he had to, because as he was trying to solidify the Roman Empire under one religion, and he had to do it under the sanctity of the bloodline of the king, or the emperor, as he was called at that time. And if we had a belief in reincarnation, that would pretty much negate the bloodline of the emperor. So
right.
It was a political move, in my opinion.
Oh, of course it was.
Yeah.
Well, we could get off on a whole tangent about books that were left in and taken out and changed and whatnot in any text, any religious text, you know.
But yes, but the reincarnation, we both believe in it. I think most people are coming around to that belief. Do you feel that way? I don't want to say most people in terms of, evangelicals, for example, but I think it's becoming more prevalent in at least our society.
I can't tell. Because I live in a world where most folks do believe that, you know, so I don't
right.
know whether it's just my word or my world or whether it's really true. Is Elaine's last name Pagel?
Pagels, I believe.
There we go.
And everybody, that's a woman who has suffered and still maintained her faith. She lost her son when he was 6. And then a year or two later, her husband died in a mountain climbing accident.
And she's fascinating to read. She's an amazing scholar.
She really is so neat.
Yeah, she really
and she
is.
Just came out with a brand new book I haven't read yet on the Book of Revelations.
Ooh.
And what it really means, which is...
Was it you and I that were having the conversation about the destruction of the temple and of Pompeii?
No.
Is that me and you?
Maybe.
I hate it when I do that, where I have conversations with somebody
yes,
that I can't...
Yes, because I was telling you that she said... Yes, because
yes,
I was listening
okay,
to her being interviewed, and she said the destruction of Pompeii happened at the same time that John was writing the Book of Revelation.
Well, I went and looked that up.
Mm-hmm.
and the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 A.D. Pompeii happened in 77.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never put those two dates together had you not said that to me.
No, nor would I have.
Wasn't that, that's just fascinating.
I know. It's like contemporary stuff. It's like talking about, you know, 9/11 and, you know, what's going on now in the Middle East.
Right.
You know, now it's current times, 10 years apart, but in thousands of years it won't necessarily be that way.
I know. Isn't that interesting?
Anyway, all right,
yeah.
We're rambling. Let's get to our mail.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. I wanted to read some of our lovely... Okay, I did not get permission from this person to share this, so I'm not going to use this person's name. I just said, like, do you mind if I share this? And she hasn't emailed me back, but I'm just going to generically read it. Is that okay? Because it's such a lovely story.
Okay.
I recently found you on Blog Talk and have been listening to the archives on my one-hour drive to and from work. I want to thank you both for your dedication and helpfulness you are providing to so many people not knowing where to go for spiritual growth and learning. You have really helped me grow spiritually just in the weeks I've been listening. You both have really helped me learn a lot about myself and helped me strengthen my spiritual confidence. One comment that really struck home was the story about the alcoholic father and forgiveness. I could not have connected more to that story. I began to sob because at that very moment a light bulb went off, and I stepped away from the existence of this world and realized exactly why we are here. It was a magical moment I will never forget. I realized and felt the true meaning of forgiveness. After 27 years, I am ready to forgive my parents. Understanding forgiveness and why we were here was the stepping stone I needed. I am finally able to look at the situation not as a negative one, but as a positive one, in the hopes that both of us will pass the lesson we were brought here to learn. We are among so many lessons, and holding on to guilt and pain is only living in a worldly existence, not a godly one. I thank you so much for giving me that. Isn't that beautifully written?
I am going to cry.
I know. I think I...
I am so glad that that comment was helpful to her.
Okay.
Gosh, or him. I mean, how wonderful to know that was a... just at the right time of something that person needed. So, gosh, thank you for that.
Yeah, just so beautiful to share that, and that, you know, those aha moments, as Oprah calls them, really are life-changing.
I'm so glad. How wonderful. Thank you for that.
Okay, and this next email is from our listener, Linda. And she has a neat, I just posted her blog on our Facebook page, so if you want to check it out, go to Facebook and search Psychic Teachers and friend us. She says, I've been going back and forth on this topic for a very long time. I feel like there has to be a connection with spirit and special needs individuals. My son had a complicated birth and is now special needs. He is not autistic, but does have the characteristic of an autistic child. You can check him out on my blog, which is nicumama.com, and I posted the exact link on the Facebook page, as I said. She says, my son, and I think a lot of people who have special needs, totally lives in the now. If you try to talk to him about the future, he just gets anxiety over it. He is the most honest, loving, compassionate, sensitive child. Then there is the behavior part of it that comes out of nowhere. He will do things and ask, why are you doing this? Sometimes he says, my brain tells me to, or the voices tell me to. Is the spirit possibly... he has many anxieties at night. The special needs world is a lonely place for anyone to live through. Many people don't understand. I tell no one my thoughts, but I do tell my son, if you hear the voices again, tell them to go away. He has difficulty sleeping at night. He doesn't want to be alone in his room. He has night lights. We have done everything to make his room peaceful for him. Let's just say I'm sleep deprived. There is a book out there called Autism and the God Connection. So she's asking if this could be a topic for a show and if other people have found or sensed a connection with their special needs loved one in their life and being more open to the spiritual world.
Wow.
And I thought that was a really neat topic that I'm anxious to hear from you all about, because I know Doreen Virtue has talked about this a little bit with crystal children, and she said that many of the crystal children are incarnating as autistic children, and they are ushering in... a new way for us to look at the world, helping us to be more sensitive and to really partake of our five senses
mm-hmm.
more fully so that we can then open the sixth sense. And I just wonder what you think about that and what our listeners think about that.
I don't know. I need some meditation time with this topic.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know. I don't have answers for any of that. But it is certainly, if we get folks who would like to have some discussion about that, I mean, I think you and I could facilitate it. I would never claim to be an expert on that topic by any means.
No, nor would I. But I have seen that quite often where people will, you know, will ask me if I come across that. So I do get emails about that, and I do know teachers, for example, who work with special needs children, and they will talk about that.
Uh huh. Yeah.
And
exactly.
I find it interesting. Okay, I had another email I'm supposed to read, and I can't find it right now.
Okay. And you know, I do believe. I can't speak about special needs and disorders such as autism or Asperger's, but I have experienced, while you're looking for this, I've experienced some kind of connection with psychic ability and the other side with people with some other mental, with some mental disorders, schizophrenia, for example, or people with real severe behavioral issues.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that happen sometimes with clients, you know. So I think someday we're going to have some connection to this. So there are going to be some answers that mind-body-spirit connection that we talk about, and you and I certainly believe in, has so many layers to it that we haven't even begun to scratch the surface yet.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, I think that's going to be true.
This next email is from Dawn. She says, first, let me tell you, thank you both so very much for the telecourse on forgiveness. It was extremely helpful for me. Yesterday, Samantha, I used a piece of gyrospace from your heart chakra bag to meditate and ask for comfort. I want to tell you that I'm truly amazed by how calming it was to hold that stone to my heart chakra. I've never used crystals before and wasn't completely certain about the efficacy of crystals or Reiki. The energy in the stones you sent is undeniable. I'm excited to learn more about them. A few hours after I meditated with the crystal, it was bedtime. This is when I received the most comforting message. I typically play a game on my phone called Scramble. She didn't tell me the name of it. It's a word scramble puzzle, which ends when five words stack to form a pyramid shape. And then the email gets a little long here, so I'll shorten it up. But basically, she received a message from her father on this phone game after meditating with the heart chakra stones that was really important to her through the words that popped up on the pyramid.
Uh-huh.
She says, this was such a humbling message of encouragement that I immediately recognized it and burst into tears. This is what leads me to a show suggestion. I think many people think in symbols, but they do not relate this way of perceiving things to their psychic abilities. I'm not referring to blatant kinds of messages. I mean that everything I see, taste, touch, smell, and hear can remind me of something else and can potentially be a symbol. So I did want to talk to you too about that, Deb, and talk to the listeners about that, ways that we can hear from our loved ones on the other side often are through symbols. Don't you find that in your own experience too?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I think that's often more common for folks than, you know, just the language and the talking and the words. I think we get symbols even more often than we do language.
Yeah. Well, I always tell people that our loved ones on the other side can communicate with us in one of four ways: through music, through nature, through coins like metal, and electricity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I do think it's important to be open to that. And so that is a, I think that would be a good show topic for us to discuss, is just opening yourself up to the symbols that are around you, to the very subtle ways that our intuition speaks to us, that our loved ones speak to us, that our guides speak to us,
mm-hmm.
You know, how to listen to the language of intuition.
Right. Well, you know, I come back to that. I love the coin story. I love the communication with coins.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've told you that, and I think I've talked about this on the show, that after having had a past life regression in which I was able to document the light, one of the lifetimes that occurred, and it was as a nun working with Native folks in Canada, and two things happened very quickly. After I did that research on this woman, one was that I got this toy drum in my mailbox. It was just there. And then the other thing was in my driveway was a buffalo head nickel. I'm sitting here looking at that buffalo head nickel right this minute, actually. And I know that came as a sign from the other side that said, yeah, you got it. Hello. This is it.
And if you open yourself up to those signs, they will come with more frequency. I got another lovely email from a woman who said that her mother had passed, and she was upset because she hadn't really felt that communication from her yet.
Mm-hmm.
And she had really been trying, was opening herself up to it. And I'm not exactly sure with all the technology out there, but I think she said that she subscribed to my blog, and it emails her whenever I, you know, enter a new blog.
Mm-hmm.
And so a few weeks ago, I wrote a blog called Hello from Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So she was literally on her knees, like saying to her mother, please, can you please communicate with me? Can you please let me know you're okay? I want to hear from you. And her phone went ding, and she looked at it, and it said, Hello from Heaven.
Oh, how wonderful.
Isn't that really neat?
Yes. Hello from Heaven. Hello, here we are.
I'm here.
I am paying attention to you. So, yes, I think that's the part that folks, I think the symbols are always there. I think it's our awareness of them and our ability to recognize them and interpret them is what is often lacking.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that. So I think that's an important.
I do think sometimes that we have to find a balance. Like, I know when I was first learning about how our intuition works and the language of symbology, there were a couple of times where my husband had to say, Samantha, it's just a butterfly. You know, like, you can't get a little carried away. Like, oh my gosh, that's a sign for me. So I think you have to find the balance and look at the timing. Like, you know, if she had said that prayer to her mother and then, like, 3 days later or 2 days later, her phone had pinged Hello from Heaven, I don't think that would have been a sign from her mother. You know, I think it was the timing. She was literally asking her mother for a sign at that moment, and poof.
Right.
There it was.
And there it was. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, and we, I don't want to get off on this tangent because it really is a good topic for a show coming up, but I've learned that studying Carl Jung's symbolism and studying fairy tales and mythology have helped so much for me in my intuitive work.
Oh, for sure. And it can, whatever is important to you, I think this is important to know too, whatever is important to you is what your guides and angels will use to communicate with you.
Mm-hmm.
So if mythology is important to you, Deb, then they're going to know that and use that. John Edward helped me a lot with that in his book One Last Time, when he confesses that he has that soap opera addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And so his guides would communicate with him through soap opera characters.
There you go.
You know, which is really, really neat. For me, they use my own memories.
Right.
And so I know if I'm talking to a client and I'm seeing myself, you know, on stage in some stupid tutu outfit, I'm supposed to mention that, you know, their grandfather watched them when they did their ballet recital.
Right.
You know, so it depends. But you just have to be open to it and be aware that you're being spoken to and connected and communicated with all the time.
Right. And I get lyrics a lot from songs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's lyrics. A good one. You need to pay attention to songs that just randomly pop in your head.
are suddenly show up on the radio that have very clear messages. I know that's happened to our friend Joel.
Mm-hmm. In really neat ways. Yeah, that's true.
Uh-huh, yeah. So, and I know that when I wake up in the morning with the lines from a song going through my head, that it's one of two things. It's either a message about some things I need to be aware of for that coming day, or it's a message from the other side, and I kind of have to wait and kind of weigh it out and see which way it might go here. But, yeah, I know.
And, Deb, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, and I know you're going to say no, but I posted a blog on Black Eye Kids. And
you
I
did?
Got a ton of response, and I think we might want to do a show on that.
No. Samantha?
Say that.
Samantha, that scares me. You know, I'm the light bulb. Huh?
Face your fears. You can do it.
I don't want to. Folks, here's what Samantha's talking about so that you're in on this conversation. I have become absolutely fascinated with this black-eyed children phenomenon, but fascinated in a very, I don't really want to read this stuff kind of way. And it scares me. Remember, I'm the one who will not talk about anything negative. The D word is not coming out of my mouth.
But there's a new theory out there. You know, some people believe that they're aliens, and some people believe they're demons, and other people think they're just trapped souls. But there's a new theory that they're like children or cousins. I don't know what words you want to plug in there, relatives of the Grim Reaper, and that when you see them, they are not here to bring death, but to bring a warning that bad news is coming.
We have a listener in the chat room who said she read your blog before going to bed and had a very hard time going to sleep. I'm not doing this to our listener.
Well, come on. It's fun and creepy.
No, it's not fun.
Well, and another topic I wanted to, you guys all have to listen to this and then respond in emails, because if we get
right, we're looking
emails,
for your opinions,
we'll
folks, here as we're having this conversation.
My father called me the other week, and this is like my straight laced. My father was so straight laced. He was a member of the Young Republicans in 1962, everybody, okay? Which I think is like impossible. How can you be a Republican in the 60s? But he was. Okay. So he calls me and he says, Samantha? And I said, yeah, Dad. And he said, I've been seeing weird things out of the corners of my eye, and I just had my eyes checked, and I thought as a last resort I'd ask Paranormal Sam. I said, what have you been seeing? He described shadow people to a T.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh my gosh, if my father is seeing shadow people, this is getting more prevalent. Something's going on with that as well. So I think we should do a show on black-eyed children and shadow people. What are they? How can you protect yourself from them? Should you be afraid?
See, not from shadow people. They're just shadow people. But those children, I just don't know.
All right,
folks, give us your opinion.
You tell us.
Right.
Unfortunately, everybody, I will not be able to be with you next week. I do ask that you keep my family in your prayers because my little 8-year-old daughter Victoria is receiving her first communion, and so I'll be celebrating with her, and our family will be in town, so I won't be able to do the show, but Deb will persevere on.
Yes, I will, and may have Joel help me, so we'll see how that goes. I haven't talked to him yet about this, so see, people are the chat room are saying we should be scared of those black-eyed things. Okay, so I can't talk about that anymore. We're hanging up now, folks. thank you all for listening to the show. We hope that our segment on rebirth and renewal and resurrection was helpful to you. And we certainly would appreciate your comments and suggestions as we have batted around some additional ideas. We hope you have a wonderful and blessed week this next week, and that you will enjoy the rebirth of spring as it comes wherever you may be.
Oh, beautifully said, Deb. Thank you, everybody, for listening and bearing with us tonight.
All right. Good night, folks, and I will see you all next week.
Have a great one.
Good night.